Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the final show here on Suspense Radio. And what better way to end it than with Stranger Than Fiction? Get out the story behind the Amityville Horror with your host, author Donald Allen Kirch, author of the book Reich and Manchester House. You can visit DonaldAllenKirch.com for more information. Also, I'd like to say that this show is also brought to you by Simon & Schuster and all the great books that they do, including this book, Case of Redemption. Dan Sorensen was once a high-powered New York defense attorney, but that was before a horrifying accident killed the most two most important people in his life. And as he approaches rock bottom, Dan is unexpectedly offered the opportunity of a lifetime. Defend an up-and-coming rapper who swears he's innocent of the brutal slaying of his pop star girlfriend. Dan realizes this may be his only hope to put his life back on track, but as he dives deeper into the case, he learns that atonement comes at a very steep price. Read A Case of Redemption by Adam Mintzner, available in paperback and ebook form in January, right after the holidays. Get those Amazon gift cards out. Adam Mintzner is an author that we said is on Suspense Magazine Best of list for last year, 2012, with his book. So he is definitely an author to check out, and we want to thank Simon & Schuster so much for sponsoring today's show, Stranger Than Fiction, with Donald Allen Kirch, Amityville Horror. And so without further ado, everybody, of course, happy holidays to everyone out there. I want to thank you all for listening to Suspense Radio all the time. A lot of exciting stuff coming up next year. And again, what better way to end it than here with Donald Allen Kirch and Stranger Than Fiction. Get out the story behind Amityville Horror. See you guys all next year. Enjoy the show.
Forget the world that you know. You are about to enter a dimension of the bizarre, where ordinary story leaps off the page and becomes a new experience in terror, excitement, and entertainment. Hello, I am author Donald Allen Kirch, and I am welcoming you to Stranger Than Fiction.
Hello, this is author Donald Allen Kirch, back with another story about the strange and the unusual. We've all heard this saying before, whether from our grandparents, from our parents, or even from a Hallmark card, that home is where the heart is. What if the heart that was beating in the center of our home was an evil one? Consider, what if the creaking in the walls, the constant snapping of the settlement of the house itself, wasn't just physical happenings? What if it was benevolent and was meant to hurt us? Well, that's what we're going to cover today in a very famous house that has had a lot of controversy. A New York house, a Long Island house, the Amityville Horror House, in this week's episode entitled
Get Out,
the story behind the Amityville Horror. On a rather mild November night in 1974, at around 6:30 in the evening, a small New York town's perspective upon the world suddenly changed. 23-year-old Ronald DeFeo Jr. entered Henry's Bar, a local watering hole, and proclaimed with an ashen face,
"You got to help me. I think my mother and father are shot."
Some in the bar, having known DeFeo, gathered up the courage to walk with him just a few blocks down the street to a Dutch colonial house located at 112 Ocean Avenue. The home had belonged to the DeFeo family since the early months of 1965. They were all well known, and they were all well liked. Upon entering the home, a few of Ronald DeFeo's bar friends were horrified to learn that the young man had been correct. His parents were dead, and it appeared to be murder. Someone had made an emergency call to the Suffolk County Police, demanding a unit to further investigate. When fully searched, the house contained six bodies. All were killed in their beds. The victims had all been shot with a lever-action Marlin rifle. By all evidence, they had been murdered at or around 3:15 a.m. of that same day. The parents, Ronald DeFeo Sr., and Louise DeFeo, had both been shot twice. The children, Dawn, Allison, Mark, and John Matthew, all appeared to be resting in their bed. In fact, all the victims within the house were found resting upon their stomachs. There is a slight suggestion which made some believe that both Louise and her daughter Allison had been the only two awakened by the murdering assault. But this theory is just that. Item. How is it possible that six people could remain asleep while the others in their house were being shot with a loud and powerful hunting rifle? Item. 112 Ocean Avenue is within a close community of fashionable homes. No one heard a single shot. Item. The Suffolk County coroner found no drugs or alcohol within the bodies of those killed. Upon discovery of his murdered family, Ronald DeFeo Jr. stated to the police that his father had been involved with some local mobsters, and that he was certain that if they knew that he was still alive, they would come after him. DeFeo was immediately placed into protective custody and taken down to the local police station. After several interviews, inconsistencies in his story, and within the timeline surrounding the murders, Ronald DeFeo's innocence was questioned. The following day, he confessed. He had killed his entire family. He told detectives,
"Once I started, I just couldn't stop. It went so fast."
112 Ocean Avenue would later be known as the house in the Amityville Horror. Even before the famous novel and before the controversial stories, the property upon which the house had been raised had always been considered bad. During his trial, DeFeo tried to plead insanity. His defense lawyer told stories of an argumentative family and of a confused son who tried to ease himself off his heroin and LSD trips. There had been reported cases of DeFeo hearing voices ordering him to commit the crimes, of strange images of demons and evil faces taunting him during the night. DeFeo once claimed that before the killings, a man with black hands gave him the lethal weapon to start killing with. Although interesting, one must also acknowledge that DeFeo himself has changed his story several times. There are as many versions of what happened as there are Amityville Horror movies. All the ghost stories didn't work. On November 21st, 1975, DeFeo was found guilty and sentenced to 6 consecutive 25 to life terms. He is currently being held within the Green Haven Correctional Facility in Beekman, New York. All his appeals to the state parole board have been turned down. Still, the murders held within them some abnormal details. Six victims were found in their beds, lying on their stomachs. All appeared to be peaceful and could have awakened quite easily upon hearing the sounds of a rifle being fired. It was this simple fact, and that no drugs had been found within their systems, that have made police and locals puzzle over the case. From ballistic tests, there was no evidence of a silencer being used, or that the rifle in question even had the fittings needed to have one. There was a theory that DeFeo had an accomplice, but no evidence has come forth supporting such a notion. During a recent interview, DeFeo had stated that his sister Dawn had helped him, hoping to profit from her parents' death, but one should strongly consider this source. DeFeo has been known to be both charming and demanding, constantly threatening those he cannot subjugate. Then came the cold December of 1975. 13 months after the horrible murders that shook Amityville, George and Kathleen Lutz had made a humble offer of $80,000 for the purchase of the house. Needless to say, the offer was instantly taken by the broker handling the property. But by state laws, both had to be informed about the home's horrible history. Upon further thought, neither George nor Kathleen considered the matter a serious one. Having only been married for a couple of months, the Lutzes needed a place to help start up a new family. Kathleen had noticed a small sign hanging from the front yard lamp, which had read, High Hopes. With her three children from a previous marriage, Daniel, Christopher, and Melissa, she was hoping for the best. The Lutz family moved into the home on December 23, 1975. What followed next, as reported by the Lutzes in their book, were 28 days of parapsychological horror unequaled in the realms of ghostly attacks. Upon moving into the house, most of the personal belongings of the DeFeo family had been included with the price of the home. So, if one believes in psychometry, the belief of inanimate objects absorbing the energies around them, then 112 Ocean Avenue had been fully charged. Learning of the house's dark past, a friend of George's insisted that the home be blessed. Mr. Lutz, knowing a local Catholic priest, asked the man to take on the task of placing his new home under a more peaceful, spiritual path.
As we anoint this house from mantle to doorpost, we plead the blood of Jesus over everything here, within and without. I speak peace into this house and into every spirit of everyone who enters through the threshold of this place, from the crest of the rooftop to the very cement and foundation poured to build this house. I speak peace, blessings, provision, and favor into the souls and spirits of those who live here, and I claim them now for the kingdom of God through Jesus the Christ.
So it was, on the very day the Lutzes had decided to move into their home, the priest arrived to do his duty. While out in the backyard, enjoying a private moment with their children, the priest started his blessings. What happened next has been debated to this very day. While in a room Kathleen had decided to use as a future sewing room, the priest heard a rather masculine voice order him to... There was, accompanied with the odor, a foul smell and a rather physical slap upon the priest's face. The priest left without ever announcing his presence to the Lutzes. Later, the man telephoned George and Kathleen, warning them to stay out of the sewing room as much as possible. The sewing room, it was later discovered, had been the bedroom of Mark and John Matthew DeFeo. From that moment on, the Lutzes encountered several, if not questionable, experiences. Item: George had been constantly awakened in the course of the night to the sounds of the front door opening and slamming shut. Upon investigation, he only saw their dog, Harry, asleep peacefully upon the front room rug. Item: upon several occasions, Kathleen would feel herself being embraced by unseen forces. Item: the house was plagued with swarms of flies in the middle of winter. Item: George would find himself waking up at exactly 3:15 a.m. each morning with an overwhelming urge to check his boathouse. Item: a horrific demonic face had made its presence known to both George and Kathleen while George tended to a fire in the back of their fireplace. Half the demon's face looked blown away as if by a rifle. Item: the young daughter, Missy, claimed to have an imaginary friend named Jody, a demonic pig capable of changing its size. Item: on January 1st, 1976, a trail of gigantic cloven hoof prints had been spotted in the snow just outside the house. On January 8, 1976, realizing that something was against them, both George and Kathleen performed one of two blessings upon their house. With a silver crucifix, the two entered each room of their home reciting the Lord's Prayer, asking for peace to come to their house. While doing this, each heard several agitated voices begging them to stop what they were doing. The second blessing, which took place in mid-January, was so frightening, and indeed so horrific, neither fully explained the events, not even in their book, stating that it was just too frightening. Although it is rarely mentioned, the Lutzes did try once to leave their home for a while, heading toward Deer Park, New York, to stay with Kathleen's mother. While trying to relax, the phenomenon had followed them, suggesting that a simple night with the in-laws would not solve the problem. After a final night of screaming demons and slime oozing from the walls of their home, George and Kathleen Lutz took their children and dog, leaving on January 14, 1976. As a form of therapy, George had both himself and Kathleen recite over 45 hours of audio accounts regarding their experiences at 112 Ocean Avenue. Upon hearing of the tapes, the editor introduced the Lutzes to author Jay Anson, who thought their story had potential. The book, The Amityville Horror, has sold over 10 million copies from its numerous editions. The title, most people believe, had been derived from the classic H.P. Lovecraft story, The Dunwich Horror, which had been first published in 1929.
It's the kind of house they don't build anymore. A relic of a time when the world wasn't in such a hurry. When there was still time for a little charm and elegance. It has stood empty for a long while. And at the price, it is a bargain. For a growing young family, it is almost too good to be true.
What do you think?
I love it.
James Brolin, Margot Kidder, Rod Steiger, in The Amityville Horror. 28 days after the Lutz family moved into their dream house, they were running for their lives. What happened to them is an experience in terror you will never forget. And you will believe in The Amityville Horror. From the best-selling book that made millions believe in the unbelievable, The Amityville Horror.
There are those who claim that this story and all its players were made up in order to sell books, that the tragedy of the DeFeo murders were used and capitalized upon for monetary gain. As someone who has had his own sanity questioned after being attacked by a ghost myself, I can sympathize with the Lutzes. Ronald DeFeo, not so much. At least, in their episode, the Lutzes took no human lives. Kathleen Teresa Lutz died of emphysema on August 17, 2004. George Lee Lutz died of heart disease on May 8, 2006. Both had divorced in the late 1980s, but had remained on good terms. Neither ever suggested that it was the spirits that had caused them to grow apart. Ronald DeFeo Jr. remains within the gray walls of his correctional facility, refusing both interviews and comments, unless paid for the honor. His family is presently entombed in Amityville's nearby St. Charles Cemetery. To this day, the house at 112 Ocean Avenue has remained a dead cell. There has been No other paranormal activity reported. Perhaps peace has finally come to her walls. For the future families that reside there, I certainly hope so. Well, we have come to the end of another episode. The Amityville Horror is one of those ghost stories that everyone in my generation, and of course the generations that follow, have always heard. To help give the current owners of 112 Ocean Avenue their privacy, the city of Amityville has changed the address of the house, and in good decency I won't give that over the air. I have been attacked by a ghost in my paranormal studies. Indeed, I have seen several ghosts. So I sympathize for those who, when telling their story, are given what most paranormal investigators call the look. The look that says, okay, it's time to hide the sharp objects and get this nut out of our house. Was the Amityville Horror legitimate? Or was it, as most people say, just a ruse to make people buy books? I believe that the DeFeo murders and the incidences that happened were real. As for the Lutzes, the jury's still out in my case. If you are interested in reading the magazine version of Stranger Than Fiction, please go to www.suspensemagazine.com and subscribe. If you are interested in purchasing some works from me, I invite you to go to my website at www.donaldallenkirch.com. That's Donald, A-L-L-E-N, Kirch, K-I-R-C-H, one word, donaldallenkirch.com. I look forward to spending another time with you, speaking of the strange and the bizarre. So, for Stranger Than Fiction, this is Donald Allen Kirch, signing off.
And we would like to thank Donald Allen Kirch for just a wonderful episode here to end out the year 2013. Stranger Than Fiction, Amityville Horror. The other thing I would also like to add is on January the 1st, there is a contest going on by the wonderful author L.J. Sellers, ljsellers.com. Go to the bottom of the page, click on the more information. And what it is that the book Trigger, her latest book, will be out on January the 1st. If you buy the book on the 1st of January, you are eligible to win a trip to Left Coast Crime 2015, a wonderful convention where fans can meet their writers, favorite authors, face-to-face, talk with them, maybe have a drink with them. You never know. The event is going to be in Portland, Oregon this year, March 12th through the 15th, 2015. In addition to that, she is also giving away 10 Amazon gift certificates for $50 each or for another bookstore of your choice. So there's 11 chances to win. And so if that wasn't also good enough, the ebook will also be discounted to only 99 cents on the launch day. So to enter the contest, simply forward the receipt proof of purchase to LJ at ljsellers.com. And you can have a lot more information again if you go to ljsellers.com for that. So again, everybody, have a happy one. A merry one, wherever you are, wherever you may be listening. We want to thank you so much for making Suspense Radio part of your life and along with Suspense Magazine. So until next time, until 2014, we want to wish you all a safe and happy holiday season. Thank you guys so much. See you on the other side.